Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my bulletproof friend. My friend who owns a barbershop, but has no reason to go into one. Frank.
Very, very accurate. Yeah. Yes. Hi. Hi, buddy. How you doing?
Good. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. I am enjoying a Belgian blonde beer from Leff.
Oh.
Is that what you're enjoying as well?
Yes, it is. It's really good.
Yeah.
You bought it. That's why.
Yeah. It's better when it's free. Have you tried before?
No.
Leff? Oh, it's very good.
It's so good. I love Belgium's my favorite.
Me too.
So good. Mm-hmm. But even Belgian, like, even Belgian bottling and, you know, font and color and I love it all. I got to go to Belgium.
I know, me too. I really want to go to Belgium. My cousin and his wife.
I can offer you a chance to go to Epcot.
I've been.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I actually missed an opportunity to go to Belgium.
Really?
Yeah. And
I drove through Belgium once.
Oh, did you?
On the way between Germany and France. That was it. My cousin and his wife they've gone a bunch of times, and we were talking about going with my wife and having a little beer trip while we're there, and, you know, going to the abbeys and the breweries and checking out the stuff. So yeah, this is Leff is it's a Belgian abbey ale, and it's a blonde with subtle sweetness accentuated with aromas of vanilla and clove. And they've been brewing it since 1240. The year 1240.
They've been brewing this. Wow, that's really old beer.
Mm-hmm.
Not this bottle specifically. I see.
I see where I went.
I'm fine now.
How are you? There's a new Marvel TV show, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So, Luke Cage dropped back in September.
Yeah.
But
we kind of took our time.
We took our time watching it. For one reason. Well, I mean, I think the, it dropped back like September 30th. So
yeah,
it's like, I should say September, but it was really October.
Yeah. It's been a month.
And we did kind of take our time watching it, but I also like, we were almost ready to talk about it a few weeks ago, but so many people also seem to have been taking their time with it.
Yeah.
People haven't been binging Luke Cage in my circle, and even what, like, some of the sites that I check, you know,
yeah,
that they haven't been watching it the same with the veracity that people watched Daredevil seasons 1 and 2, Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
I think I know the reason for that, but I'm curious what you think. Maybe we'll get there, but
In my circle, it wasn't really the same way. In my circle, I think people watched it pretty quickly.
Oh yeah.
So okay. So I was one of the last people to finish watching it. Out of my group of friends, but that's interesting. What do you think? What's your theory on why it took people longer?
I think that the story feels very long.
Mm.
The story feels very, it's 13 episodes. You know how some, like, you want to get through as fast as possible, and you're like, oh no, it's over. I can't believe it's over. And this one, I was like, whoobly.
Yeah.
This is like, it's only four. Four was a good episode,
yeah.
but I was like, there's just, come on, like, something. And part of that, I don't think is a reflection on the show, but I think Luke Cage he's invulnerable for the most part. You know, like, there's these spoilers for Luke Cage. So there's the bullets that let the Judas bullet. that does hurt him and all that stuff. But he's got unbreakable skin and it's unbreakable. I'm Luke Cage. And so that's the crossover that I'm waiting for.
Crossover we don't, not the crossover we need, but the one we deserve.
Yeah, I agree. Just Luke Cage dancing around Pops. Pinot Noir.
Oh my God, the two of them.
I know, so funny. I'll stop there. Yeah. When a character can't be hurt, there's not a lot of tension to be had, it has to fall to other characters that you'd have to feel for them, their peril, their whatever, or you have to feel for the character, like he can't, like the Superman, he can't save everybody, so who does he choose, and like all this stuff, but I feel like that show was kind of, it was missing that.
Yeah, they didn't go that route. They didn't go that route of like, you know, I can't save everybody, and I have a guilty conscience because I couldn't save this person or anything.
Right,
like that.
It's sort of like he has a bit of that with Pop.
With Pop, yeah,
But like some of that kind of goes and dies, and it's really about saving Harlem.
Yes, it's way more about about the soul of Harlem, the fight for the
right,
soul of
which is that stuff I really liked.
Yeah,
but I just kind of found a lot of the show kind of flat and not. A lot of it didn't intrigue me. Like, his main plot, like, his story. I think I liked the first seven episodes, I think it's seven episodes more than the back half.
I'll agree with you there.
I liked Copperhead more than Diamondback.
Okay.
And so, and I think that's a part of it. So when
Cottonmouth?
When yeah. I, yeah.
Copperhead.
Oh, my God. So many snake names.
Yeah.
So I liked Cottonmouth more than
I agree.
Yeah, and so like so when he died, which was a great scene.
Yes,
when Black Mamba killed him. Alfie Woodward, who was in Civil War.
Yes,
she was the one that was like, my son died. Tony Stark, he died.
I always think about her role in Star Trek. First Contact. Yeah, First Contact. Isn't that the one with you break your little ships? I'm going to use my one look up.
There you go.
just to make Tim stop.
Yeah. Yes. Can I help you?
Sir Hiss?
Yeah. No, you ever see the producers with Carmen Gia answers the door?
Oh.
Like, yes. anyway, I really liked that scene. She like smashes his face in with the mic stand and all of that.
It is First Contact.
It is First Contact. Okay.
The line must be drawn. Yeah. This far. No further.
I heard your voice echo out into the building
yeah,
again.
I know.
I love it when that happens.
Break your little ships.
Yeah, because everybody comes out and is like, hey, try to sleep here. I'm like, why? It's not even 8 o'clock at night. Yeah, calm down. Yeah.
Chill.
Yeah. Take a chill pill. So I found tertiary characters more intriguing than I found Luke Cage. And I think maybe that was like I didn't. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just didn't.
Interesting.
Most episodes, he was not my favorite part of the episode. I really liked him in the last episode, though, right? So, like, when he gets arrested and he's in the car with the book.
Yeah.
I really liked all of that. And I was like, he's just kind of, you know what it is? He's mopey. Through a lot of the episode.
Yeah. He was definitely down. He was definitely a little mopey. I actually really liked this show more than I liked parts of Daredevil.
Sure.
I don't know if I'd say more than I like Jessica Jones. I really like Jessica Jones, but I liked this a lot more than I liked some parts of Daredevil. Like, I thought Daredevil was, people like went crazy over Daredevil.
Yeah.
And I liked Daredevil, but I really liked parts of.
Okay. So, because I don't want to be down on it and say that, like, I didn't like, because I did. I really liked the music.
I liked bringing that music
into the club.
Harlem's Paradise was like, that's like my, I would.
It was great.
A place that has music like that, I would go every night.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Absolutely.
A place like that, like, on that level, was that consistently good and actually existed in a place that I could go to?
Expensive club.
Yeah. No, but I would go. Like,
I really liked that. I thought Method Man's acting was actually really good.
Yes.
It was really, like, yes. Yeah.
You You a double XL?
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked all that. I really liked Misty Knight a lot.
Loved Misty Knight.
She
was fantastic.
Yeah.
She was fantastic. She owned that role.
Yep.
She owned that role. I would love to see her in some more. So like she just
She's gonna be. She's in Defenders.
I know. I'm excited. I'm very excited.
There's I just saw a set photo, which is not really a spoiler for the show because I'm sure it's like episode one at this point because they just started. But it's Misty Knight holding a gun out on Jessica Jones, who's got her arms up in the air.
Nice.
And so
I'm excited. I'm excited for that show.
I am. Yeah.
I didn't think I would be. I really didn't think I would because these are not characters that I really knew before these shows very well. So I was sort of like, okay, Defender show. Like, I guess I'll probably try it. Like, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I try all of them. And
yeah, so,
me too.
Yeah.
I'm trying all of them.
So, but we'll talk about Defenders at the end. So let's stick to Luke Cage. Why did you like this show so much?
So the music was a major thing. I really was intrigued. I'm not usually that into like mob boss stories that much.
Sure.
I feel like it's a little overdone.
Yeah.
Like once you've seen The Godfather or Goodfellas, like why bother again?
I don't really like The Godfather.
Okay.
I own all of them. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this I felt like was a really good mob boss story, like drug lord, you know, story where it was just like as simple as she's in the city council. He could go straight, but instead he decides that easy money would be guns and drugs.
That was the story I found super interesting.
Right.
The two of them, they're like Cottonmouth. And when was Copperhead is a DC. Black Mariah. Did I say Black Mamba? Mm-hmm. God. Can't get these names right.
Cottonmouth and Black Mariah. I thought they were really, I really, really enjoyed the two of them. And I really enjoyed Luke.
It's Black Mamba. Her real name is Mariah. Black Mamba is a type of snake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They did call her Black Mariah in the show, though.
Gotta look
it
up. Now I will use that as my lookup because it's going to bother me.
Because I didn't make that up. I was like, oh, I guess that's her name? Because I wasn't familiar with her character. But when they said Black Mariah a couple of times, there she is. Black Mariah is a fictional character, villain appearing in American comic books, published by Marvel Comics. Character is usually depicted as an enemy of Luke Cage, Black Mariah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you say that, and to that I say, here's a picture of the snake Black Mamba. So maybe I heard Mamba because I know that's a snake?
Yeah, probably. Mariah Dillard, Earth 616, Black Mariah.
Oh, and Black Mamba is also a Marvel
character.
Okay. Black Mamba is a fictional character superhero appearing in American comic books published in Marvel Comics. She appeared in 64, creators Ralph Macchio and Mark Gruenwald.
Ralph Macchio?
Ralph Macchio, not the Karate Kid, the Marvel editor. I know. I had that conversation with people before.
I did not realize that was a thing.
Yep. Okay. We're good now.
Okay, wow.
I confused my Black Mariahs and Black Mambas and snakes and, oh boy.
So Cottonmouth, Black Mariah, Diamondback. So I thought that the two of them were great, and I really liked Luke having to take them down and like knowing that they were the bad guys
sure.
and he was the only one who could stop them to some extent. I really, really enjoyed, I think I agree with you, up to and including episode 7-ish, so right about halfway, past halfway. Not to say that I didn't enjoy it from there on out, but that was definitely the best. Like that was where I was like really digging in and really, really enjoying it.
I agree.
I can't wait for the next one. I was on a long flight out to the West Coast and I was just like eating these episodes up on my flight there.
Yeah.
Really loving it. I agree with you there. So was it purely the like he's too overpowered and it's not interesting anymore?
No, I don't think so because I love Superman.
Yeah.
So, like, that, I can't say that I love Superman for the same reason as I just, for whatever reason, he's just not a character that I, warmed up to.
Yeah.
I guess. But there are times.
He's not a warm, fuzzy character. Luke Cage is not a warm, fuzzy guy.
But he kind of is. They're not. Yeah, that's. Okay. Yeah.
You
know, warm and fuzzy character. That's true. He's not Peter Parker.
He's
charming.
He turns on the charm. Especially with Misty, especially with the ladies.
Yeah.
Let's
get some coffee.
But yeah. Oh, that was a great recurring.
Coffee. Yeah, I love that.
That was
a
great recurring bit. Let's get some coffee. I don't even like coffee. That's the charm. That is the Luke Cage charm right there. Mm-hmm. It's like a little bit of like Billy D. yeah. sprinkled in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let's get some Colt 45. Yeah.
So that was really cool. But yeah, I agree. He's not a warm fuzzy guy. He's not a happy guy for the most part. He's struggling with these inner demons he has and this inner he knows that he could cause destruction and
yep.
He has this great responsibility that mm-hmm. comes with his great power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that didn't bother me for whatever reason. I think that because he's just like such a smooth guy and because the characters around him were a good supporting cast,
yeah.
that offset to the show didn't feel dour. It didn't feel, while it was dark, it didn't feel dour.
No, I agree. And I mean, even though he was not, because I mean, all the Netflix shows are not like, they're not the happy-go-lucky Marvel movies, you know, where,
right.
you know, an island is getting lifted up into the middle of the sky mm-hmm. and they're like, threw a car at that guy. Yeah, good yeah, job. Yeah. All right.
The incident.
Yeah, right. No, the incident is the alien. I know, yeah. I know. Don't. Yeah. So I really don't know what it was about this show that I didn't attach myself to it the same way. Because I liked the mob. I liked the mob stuff. It was some of my favorite stuff. And I don't always like mob stories, same as you. But, like, I really liked the mob stuff in Daredevil. And, you know, so that should equate its way right into Luke Cage, mm-hmm. which it did. I might have been the pace. I found it a little slow going.
I'll agree with that for sure. I will actually definitely agree with that. Because the second half of the season, I was just sort of like, shouldn't we be like wrapping this up now?
Yeah.
Like this kind of feeling stretched yeah. out.
Well, part of that is that like we didn't, with Diamondback coming in halfway through, we get hints of him like being talked about and Shades yeah. talks about him a lot. Shades I really liked.
I like Shades.
Yeah.
I almost thought we were never going to meet Diamondback or like
me either.
Not until the very last episode. Like he'd be like the, you know, you meet Bowser in the last level.
Oh yeah.
You know,
sure.
Like, I thought it might be something like that. But as it turned out, he was basically the villain for the second half of the season, and I just didn't love the way they did that.
Nope.
The pacing felt odd.
Yeah,
it felt a little haphazard. Like they were like, "Well, we're gonna kill Cottonmouth and bring in Diamondback," and it was almost like, "Okay, but you guys, you like wrote all this before you shot it, guys." Like this.
Yeah.
Like,
well, see, there's so much setup for Luke and Cottonmouth to dislike one another, you know. They yes. both bridge together this thing with Pop, and yep. you know, and like, you know, and the way that they're both trying to quote unquote save Harlem and like all this stuff, there's like a real connection between them, but there's a forced connection between Luke and Diamondback
yeah.
that we barely see.
I was way more invested in Cottonmouth
yeah.
way more invested in Cottonmouth
yeah.
And then when he died, I was almost like, but he's not really dead, right? Like he's not like,
yeah.
right? Because I didn't want him to be.
Right.
Because I was so invested. And then Diamondback, yeah, we hardly heard anything about him before he appeared. And then once he did, then they were like, oh, and they're actually half-brothers.
Sure. Yeah, right, exactly. Oh, by the way, they're related.
Right.
Like, why?
Why? Yeah. So I have my problems with that. I will definitely agree with that. But, you know, I when I look back at the season as a whole, I enjoyed it more than I did. I give it more of a thumbs up than a thumbs
sure,
down.
Sure, yeah, I still gave it the thumbs up. It's definitely, I guess it's kind of, I found some of it kind of a slog. But
yeah,
like, but
yeah.
I don't like, but the acting is good.
The acting's really good.
I found some of the fights weren't great. Like they, okay. they were not on the level of Daredevil or even Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a different style, right?
Right.
But I found like, there's that episode where we first meet Luke and Jessica Jones where he's just standing in the same place and he's just throwing people around the
yeah.
bar. That was a better fight than almost anything that we got in his own show.
Okay. Okay. All right.
You know,
I was expecting we might see Jessica Jones make a cameo in the show.
I was expecting that as well.
Didn't happen.
I was not overly disappointed she didn't make a cameo either. Like, it, I mean, they're coming together for Defenders anyway.
That's true.
So yeah. it didn't feel like... It, to me, it didn't feel like a missed opportunity. There are different parts of the city.
Sure.
And New York is huge. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so, I mean, like, you could live in Harlem your whole life and you never have to leave.
It's true.
Right? You know?
But, like, Night Nurse gets around.
Yeah, but she's the Agent Coulson of the Netflix show.
Yeah, you're right.
She's the bridge because this is still phase one for Netflix, really, right? If you look at Daredevil as your Iron Man, you know, you're front, you have Iron Man 1 and 2 and Thor and Hulk and Captain America, then Avengers. And
that's
so,
true.
And so you
had Daredevil 1 and 2.
Right, yeah, Daredevil 1 and 2 and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and Iron Fist and then Defenders.
We're going to get to Defenders. Yeah. All right. That's valid. That's valid.
Yeah.
I do think I enjoyed this more than Daredevil Season 2.
I've heard people say that as well. Daredevil Season 2 had its issues.
Yeah,
as well.
I just didn't care for Punisher. I've never cared for the Punisher.
You know,
it's not a character that I care for.
It's funny that you said that because as soon as I rattled off all these things, I was like, oh, I forgot the Punisher. Yeah, I forgot his show. But I'm not sure if his is coming before or after Defenders. I know they're both filming concurrently.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah. So, and so I'm not sure where their stories fall in line for releases.
I honestly think I might skip the Punisher series.
Yeah.
Like I sincerely think I might skip it.
Because John Bernthal or is it the Punisher?
No, it's the character.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, John Bernthal, I think he's brilliant. He's a great actor.
Yeah.
I thought his performance was good. Nothing about that character really sticks for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think Punisher is a character that even as a kid, I always really liked the design of the character.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I liked the big trench coat and I liked the belt with like a bunch of pockets and this and that, but like I've never really had an affinity towards the character, kind of in the same way for Luke Cage. But I mean, like these shows are supposed to give me affinity for characters, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't care about Cottonmouth before, you know, watching this thing. But now I'm like, ooh, if Cottonmouth showed up in a book or whatever, I would read that.
Right.
I wouldn't read a series with Cottonmouth.
Sure.
But I would like to read a story. Right. So, you know, and there are characters that, like, you have, like, a tertiary appreciation for. And they kind of put Punisher on the same level as, like, Iron Fist. Like, when you show up, I'm not upset, but I'm just kind of ambivalent.
Yeah.
But Iron Fist I like more because I like that kung fu
kind of
Eastern mysticism kind of thing. I like that stuff.
I gave Daredevil Season 2, I watched it all. I feel like that was giving this version of the Punisher a try.
Mm-hmm.
I might try the first episode or two of Punisher and see if it reels me in.
Sure.
But I'm probably not going to go past that if it doesn't immediately
attract teach his own. I didn't love the Punisher in Daredevil, and I like John Bernthal a lot. He's real good in The Accountant, actually. If you want to see that, I really enjoyed that movie. It's fine. You know, part of it, Punisher's tough because like all these heroes don't kill their villains,
right?
For the most part,
right.
You know, like, you know, live to fight another day against you, and Punisher's like dead. Eventually you're just going to run out of people. Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't. I've never been one for anti-heroes, really.
No, you.
It's never been your bag, maybe. Even Watchmen, like, took me some time to sort of, like, get into it.
No, I like Watchmen. I like Watchmen for the allegory of it.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. But you're right. But, like, the comedian, and I'm not like, yeah, the comedian, you're my favorite character.
Right,
Night Owl, you're my favorite.
Yeah.
Because you're, like,
because you're Batman.
Because you're, like, Blue Beetle, or whatever, you're like a nerdy Batman,
right.
And so I have more affinity for those. But Luke Cage isn't an anti-hero; he's a hero for hire. See what I did there?
Yeah. And that's why I'm puzzled as to why I enjoy this as much as I should. Because on paper, it doesn't sound like something that I would,
right?
But I think I love the treatment of New York in this show.
Sure.
Loved it. I think the best they've done yet.
I agree.
Even
though they're all filmed in New York, for whatever reason, this was like...
This felt the most authentic.
This is authentic New York.
As somebody from New York, like, there was no, like... it drives me crazy.
No, why? Because it was actually Harlem.
It was
supposed to fake
Harlem.
Hell's Kitchen.
Yes, which was Queens half the time.
Well, right, well... Because Hell's Kitchen isn't a terrible place anymore.
Well, yeah.
But it was when Daredevil first came out.
No, but just the fact...
Daredevil,
it just drove me,
Hell's Kitchen. Yeah.
I know, but just... it drove me crazy to have... And I know I talked about this when we covered Daredevil on the podcast. To have, like, a scene where they're standing in what is clearly Queens or Brooklyn across the river. You can see the skyline across the river. And they're here in Hell's Kitchen, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you're not in freaking Hell's Kitchen! That's not what it looks like in Hell's Kitchen at all!
Oh, see, that's funny because even when they were across the river and I knew it wasn't Hell's Kitchen, I didn't take the sentence that way. I kind of took it as like you're speaking for Hell's Kitchen, not in Hell's Kitchen. Yeah, but I mean, like, down by the docks and all that stuff, and you're like, what you doing there?
That's not by the docks.
That's not Hell's Kitchen.
Not right. But this,
no,
this was
that's
much
Hell's
more,
Plumbing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This was much more authentic, much handled much with much more realism, and you know, as much as a show about superheroes can.
Yeah.
Locations, at least, were done faithfully. Faithful is the word I'm looking for. So I was really, really happy with that, and that made it, that added so much for me. Now, that's my point of view as somebody who knows New York very well, and you know, maybe I'm definitely nitpicky about that, but that added a level of enjoyment for me. That and the level of acting, storytelling, I thought was all brilliant. The second half of the story wasn't quite there for me, and the pacing wasn't quite there for me overall. But at the end of the day, I give it like a solid B.
Yeah, it's a good B. It's
solid B.
Why do you think there were like all those villains were snakes? You know, why did it have to be snakes?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I know the reason. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was great.
Yeah.
What's the reason? Why is it?
Thematically, they all fit together.
Yeah.
But like Diamondback really doesn't they actually don't really talk about it in the show. Like Black Mariah and Cottonmouth make sense because they're cousins.
Okay.
And he does not like
to be called Cottonmouth.
You know, he does not like to be called Cottonmouth, and she doesn't really like to be called Black Mariah either.
They barely call her that.
Yeah, because she's like, I'll get back to that in a second. And then, and Diamondback is just there. He's just Diamondback.
He's just Diamondback.
You know what I mean?
His costume was like super
comic accurate.
Yeah.
Looked kind of weird.
It looked like armor. You know,
it did. Yeah. I liked it, and I appreciated it. I mean, like, his comic book outfit looks dumb, too. I mean, it's not like he shows up, and you're like, I know I'm supposed to be afraid, but I'm sorry. But I'm not. You know, I'm just not. And part of that is I just didn't care about Diamondback at that point anyway.
Yeah.
And so I had no affinity for the character.
I never really got any.
But if Cottonmouth came back in that, I'd be like, I'd be so pumped.
I'd be so into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, Cottonmouth's death was necessary because as Luke, because the story is really about, two people with everybody else filling in these other roles. It's about Luke learning to become a hero because he's very ambivalent to it at first, you know. Even that hero for hire where he like thinks about taking the money, but then he doesn't, you know, he's like trying to figure out what it means to be an altruistic hero. Instead of being like, just leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's about Black Mariah being at the top, being like, I am a good person, I will save Harlem, and just slowly sinking down into the pit of evil decadence or something.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So it's like, so it's this balancing act between the two of them. And so, but for her to, you know, like cross the threshold, she has to kill Cottonmouth. So like, I totally get why he had to die. I just miss him.
Me too.
I'm glad Shades didn't die, though. He was probably the character, like, anytime he was in danger, I was like, no, Shades!
I liked him. I didn't like him that much.
I don't know why I liked him. Every one of these shows has, like, that smooth, like, right-hand man or whatever. You know what I mean? There was Wesley and Daredevil, and there's Shades, and I'm pretty sure there was one somewhere in Jessica Jones. I can't remember. I only watched it once.
The neighbor guy.
Yeah, sure. That's not who I was thinking of, but you know what I mean? But like, there's that, like, you're a mob boss and I've got this like sly, almost I'm cooler than the mob boss guy.
Yeah.
You know, cause I loved Wesley in Daredevil.
Yeah.
And I had that same affinity for Shades that way. That's where that came. And yeah, I don't think he was the best character. Misty Knight takes it for the best character for me. I loved her. I would watch a whole show with her.
Me too. I would watch a cop show in the Marvel Universe.
I would watch a cop show, Misty Knight cop
Done.
Show, no question.
Like SVU, but
anytime she was on screen, I would captivate. I would put my phone down or whatever else. I was like, I'm going to watch. I really liked the dynamic with her partner and her bosses and like all of it. She was great. She was so good. Simone Missick.
So yeah. Yes, so good.
Came
so,
out of nowhere. I've never seen her in anything before.
Brilliant casting.
Yeah.
Brilliant casting.
And so pumped that she's back for Defenders.
Me too.
I loved her super Misty Knight outfit at the end of the... Have you seen what Misty Knight looks like in the comics?
Yes.
Yeah, so like the big afro and thing. But if you watch the very last scene where she goes into the club, her dress is basically Misty Knight's outfit with her big hair and everything. Yeah, I loved it. Loved all of it. She was so good. She gets shot in the arm. Misty Knight has a robotic arm. And she gets shot in the arm in which she has a robotic arm. It's like one of those little... We got you, comic fans.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. I missed that. Yeah. I really liked that. I really liked the imagery of him kind of taking back the look of the hoodie and making that a
symbol for justice.
Given everything that's going on in our country in the last couple of years, last like 2 years, particularly when this was being shot, most likely.
Yep.
It was really, really, that was a very powerful watch.
I agree. The man in the hoodie can be your friend. Mm-hmm. He can't protect you. Mm-hmm. He is
a symbol
not
of
your
hope,
enemy.
A symbol of strength.
I agree.
And how like everyone was wearing the whole hoodies with the holes in them around Harlem and high-fiving him and everything. Like,
yeah. It
that was
great.
That was really well done.
And I mean, even the idea of like, a bulletproof black man.
Yes.
And what is happening in our country right now is so great. You know, it's like, it's so needed. And that's where the show came together for me. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the pacing just turned it into it wasn't there, which I'm really excited why Defenders is only 8 episodes instead of 13.
Yes.
Which I thought is great. Stranger Things proved, we spoke about this via text, but like Stranger Things proved you can do a really well thought out concrete show in 8 episodes. No filler, no nothing. Yep. Just give me the goods.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think it's a good attitude to take from the start. I feel like we have something to learn from the British in the way that they do their shows where, you know,
it doesn't matter how many episodes, just tell a story. Yeah.
Just tell the story in as many episodes as you need to do it. If that's 22-hour long episodes, fine. If that's 13-hour long episodes, fine. If that's 3-hour-and-a-half episodes like Sherlock, that's fine too.
Yeah,
like tell it in the way the best format to deliver me the story.
Yep.
And just do it. And so I'm glad. I hope that the reason for that is that they feel they can tell it in 8 episodes and that's it. And that's all I need. And I'll be happy with that.
Yep. I'm 100% with you. Okay. So I think we should wrap up here. So you can find us at beerwithgeeks.com, at facebook.com/beerwithgeeks, at Twitter at beerwithgeeks. You can rate and review us on the iTunes and the Google Play and everywhere else. We really, really like to climb up in the charts. Anything that you can do, 4 or 5 stars. You don't have to write a review. You can just flat out leave it. Say that, Frank, you better grow your beard out for Movember.
Okay.
Whatever. You better.
That's a good one. I like that. We're at the beginning of November.
Let's grow that beard out.
Grow it out.
Grow that beard out, Frank. That's what you can say. All right. Grow that beard out.
5 stars.
Grow that beard out, Frank. And he'll do it.
I'll do it. But only if you tell me to.
Yeah. Only then. And so any final words?
I don't think so. I am excited for Defenders, and I'm glad we talked about this.
Me too. Sure.
We came to an agreement.
We did. We came to an accord.
We did. Absolutely.
Yes. Until next time.
Cheers.
Days, 100 nights to know a man's heart. 100 days, 100 nights to know a man's heart. And a little more.